Chapter 7, A Mad Tea Party. There was a table set out under a tree in front of the house, and the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea at it. A dormouse was sitting between them, fast asleep, and the other two were using it as a cushion, resting their elbows on it and talking over its head. Alice thought,
"Very uncomfortable for the dormouse. Only as it's asleep, I suppose it doesn't mind."
The table was a large one, but the three were all crowded together at one corner of it.
"No room, no room," they cried out when they saw Alice coming.
"There's plenty of room."
Alice indignantly sat down in a large armchair at one end of the table.
"Have some wine?"
The March Hare spoke in an encouraging tone. Alice looked all round the table, but there was nothing on it but tea.
"I don't see any wine."
"There isn't any."
"Then it wasn't very civil of you to offer it."
"It wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being invited."
"I didn't know it was your table. It's laid for a great many more than three."
"Your hair wants cutting."
The Hatter had been looking at Alice for some time with great curiosity, and this was his first speech. Alice replied with some severity,
"You should learn not to make personal remarks. It's very rude."
The Hatter opened his eyes very wide on hearing this, but all he said was,
"Why is a raven like a writing desk?"
Alice thought,
"Come, we shall have some fun now. I'm glad they've begun asking riddles."
She added aloud,
"I believe I can guess that."
The March Hare said,
"Do you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it?"
"Exactly so."
"Then you should say what you mean."
"I do. Well, at least I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know."
The Hatter remarked,
"Not the same thing a bit. Well, you might just as well say that I see what I eat is the same thing as I eat what I see."
The March Hare added,
"You might just as well say that I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like."
The Dormouse, who seemed to be talking in his sleep, added,
"You might just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same thing as I sleep when I breathe."
"It is the same thing with you."
Here the conversation dropped, and the party sat silent for a minute, while Alice thought over all she could remember about ravens and writing desks, which wasn't much. The Hatter was the first to break the silence. He turned to Alice and said,
"What day of the month is it?"
He had taken his watch out of his pocket and was looking at it uneasily, shaking it every now and then and holding it to his ear. Alice considered a little.
"The 4th.
The Hatter sighed.
2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works."
He looked angrily at the March Hare. The March Hare meekly replied,
"It was the best butter."
"Yes, but some crumbs must have got in it as well. You shouldn't have put it in with the bread knife."
The March Hare took the watch and looked at it gloomily. Then he dipped it into his cup of tea and looked at it again. But he could think of nothing better to say than his first remark.
"It was the best butter, you know."
Alice had been looking over his shoulder with some curiosity.
"What a funny watch. It tells the day of the month and doesn't tell what o'clock it is."
"Why should it? Does your watch tell you what year it is?"
"Of course not. But that's because it stays the same year for such a long time together."
"Which is just the case with mine."
Alice felt dreadfully puzzled. The Hatter's remark seemed to her to have no sort of meaning in it, and yet it was certainly English.
"I don't quite understand you."
She said this as politely as she could.
"The Dormouse is asleep again."
And the Hatter poured a little hot tea onto its nose. The Dormouse shook its head impatiently and spoke without opening its eyes.
"Of course, of course. Just what I was going to remark myself."
"Have you guessed the riddle yet?"
The Hatter turned to Alice again.
"No, I give it up. What's the answer?"
"I haven't the slightest idea."
"Nor I."
Alice sighed wearily.
"I think you might do something better with the time than wasting it and asking riddles that have no answers."
"If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's him."
"I don't know what you mean."
The Hatter tossed his head contemptuously.
"Of course you don't. I dare say you never even spoke to time."
Alice replied cautiously,
"Perhaps not. But I know I have to beat time when I learn music."
"Ah, that accounts for it. He won't stand beating. Now, if you only kept on good terms with him, he'd do almost anything you like with the clock. For instance, suppose it were 9 o'clock in the morning, just time to begin lessons. You'd only have to whisper a hint to time, and round goes the clock in a twinkling. 1:30, time for dinner."
The March Hare said to itself in a whisper,
"I only wish it was."
"That would be grand, certainly. But then, I shouldn't be hungry for it, you know."
"Not at first, perhaps. But you could keep it to 1:30 as long as you like."
Is that the way you manage?
The Hatter shook his head mournfully.
Not I. We quarreled last March, just before he went mad, you know.
He pointed with his teaspoon at the March Hare.
It was at the great concert given by the Queen of Hearts, and I had to sing, Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at. You know the song, perhaps?
I've heard something like it.
It goes on, you know, in this way. Up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle.
Here the dormouse shook itself and began singing in its sleep.
Twinkle, 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 twinkle.
It went on so long they had to pinch it to make it stop.
Well, I'd hardly finished the first verse when the queen bawled out, he's murdering the time off with his head.
How dreadfully savage.
The Hatter went on in a mournful tone.
And ever since that, he won't do a thing I ask. It's always 6 o'clock now.
A bright idea came into Alice's head.
Is that the reason so many tea things are put out here?
The Hatter sighed.
Yes, that's it. It's always tea time, and we've no time to wash the things between whiles.
Then you keep moving round, I suppose.
Exactly so, as the things get used up.
But when you come to the beginning again?
The March Hare interrupted, yawning.
Suppose we change the subject. I'm getting tired of this. I vote the young lady tells us a story.
I'm afraid I don't know one.
Alice was rather alarmed at the proposal.
Then the dormouse shall. Wake up, dormouse!
And they pinched it on both sides at once. The dormouse slowly opened his eyes. He spoke in a hoarse, feeble voice.
I wasn't asleep. I heard every word you fellows were saying. Tell us a story.
Yes, please do.
And be quick about it, or you'll be asleep again before it's done.
The dormouse began in a great hurry.
Once upon a time, there were three little sisters, and their names were Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly, and they lived at the bottom of a well.
What did they live on?
Alice always took a great interest in questions of eating and drinking. The dormouse thought a minute or two.
They lived on treacle.
Alice gently remarked,
they couldn't have done that, you know. They'd have been ill.
So they were. Very ill.
Alice tried a little to fancy to herself what such an extraordinary way of living would be like. But it puzzled her too much, so she went on.
But why did they live at the bottom of a well?
The March Hare turned to Alice and said very earnestly,
take some more tea.
Alice replied in an offended tone.
I've had nothing yet, so I can't take more.
You mean you can't take less? It's very easy to take more than nothing.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Who's making personal remarks now?
The Hatter asked triumphantly. Alice did not quite know what to say to this, so she helped herself to some tea and bread and butter and then turned to the dormouse and repeated her question.
Why did they live at the bottom of a well?
The dormouse again took a minute or two to think about it.
It was a treacle well.
There's no such thing.
Alice was beginning very angrily, but the Hatter and the March Hare went, shh, shh, and the dormouse sulkily remarked,
if you can't be civil, you'd better finish a story for yourself.
Alice was now very humble.
No, please go on. I won't interrupt you again. I dare say there may be one.
One, indeed.
The dormouse was most indignant. However, he consented to go on.
And so, these three little sisters, they were learning to draw, you know.
What did they draw?
Alice quite forgot her promise.
Treacle.
The dormouse did not consider at all this time. The Hatter interrupted.
I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on.
He moved on as he spoke, and the dormouse followed him. The March Hare moved into the dormouse's place, and Alice rather unwillingly took the place of the March Hare. The Hatter was the only one who got any advantage from the change, and Alice was a good deal worse off than before, as the March Hare had just upset the milk jug into his plate. Alice did not wish to offend the dormouse again, so she began very cautiously.
But I don't understand. Where did they draw the treacle from?
You can draw water out of a water well. So I should think you could draw a treacle out of a treacle well, eh, stupid?
But they were in the well.
Alice spoke to the dormouse, not choosing to notice this last remark.
Of course they were. Well in.
This answer so confused poor Alice that she let the dormouse go on for some time without interrupting it. The dormouse went on yawning and rubbing its eyes, for it was getting very sleepy.
They were learning to draw, and they drew all manner of things. Everything that begins with an M.
Why with an M?
Why not?
Alice was silent. The dormouse had closed its eyes by this time and was going off into a doze. But on being pinched by the Hatter, it woke up again with a little shriek and went on,
it begins with an M, such as mouse traps and the moon and memory and muchness.
You know, you say things are much of a muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of a muchness?
Alice was very much confused.
Really, now you ask me, I don't think...
Then you shouldn't talk.
This piece of rudeness was more than Alice could bear, so she got up in great disgust and walked off. The Dormouse fell asleep instantly, and neither of the others took the least notice of her going, though she looked back once or twice, half hoping that they would call after her. The last time she saw them, they were trying to put the Dormouse into the teapot. As Alice picked her way through the wood, she said,
At any rate, I'll never go there again. It's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in all my life.
Just as she said this, she noticed that one of the trees had a door leading right into it.
That's very curious. But everything's curious today. I think I may as well go in at once.
And in she went. Once more, she found herself in the long hall and close to the little glass table.
Now I'll manage better this time.
She began by taking the little golden key and unlocking the door that led into the garden. Then she set to work nibbling at the mushroom. She had kept a piece of it in her pocket till she was about a foot high. Then she walked down the little passage. And then she found herself at last in the beautiful garden, among the bright flower beds and the cool fountains.